about is dreams and hypnosis in the Bible. Quite a few individuals in the Bible had dreams, men and women both. And we're going to cover some of these. We won't cover all the dreams and all the visions in the Bible, but we're going to cover quite a few of them. And we're in the book of Genesis still. Now, we studied systematic theology, and God had revealed to man, first of all, He revealed Himself to mankind by the creation itself, by a maker. He is a maker. He is a creator. And number two, by intuition, and every man knows that there is a God. He has to stifle that, smother that reality in his heart, or spirit and soul, before he can become an atheist or anything else. Number three, God revealed Himself to mankind directly through prophets, and sometimes in dreams and hypnotic trances. Nearly all the dreams are hypnotic trances. And finally, through His Word, His specific Word of God. Let's go back in the Bible and let's talk about some of these dreams that people had. In the book of Genesis, in the 27th chapter, we have a woman, a man, and two sons. A mother, a father, and two sons. Now, God had revealed to the father and the mother which son was going to be the heir. They had twins, Esau or Harry, or Red, and Jacob. And Rebekah and Isaac were the son-in-law and the son of Abraham. Now, Isaac was an unusual man. Even though he knew the will of God and which son that he was supposed to bless, he chose to go the wrong way. Now, sometimes God, in His mercy and His unpreventable progress, will at times do things to stop God's people from going the wrong way. Now, Isaac loved wild game. He loved the gamey taste. And his son Esau didn't care anything about the house, the family business, which was raising cattle and probably camels and sheep and goats. Jacob did all the work. Jacob was a very strong man. Esau was a playboy. That's all he was. It's a playboy and a good time Charlie. While Jacob was making the living for the whole family, guarding the herds from lions and leopards and wolves, bears, etc., Esau was out fooling around. But Esau had his father's heart because his father was a glutton for wild game. Before they were ever born, Rebekah had a dream, an appearance of God. God appeared to her in a hypnotic trance. And He told her, she had prayed to God and said, "What is wrong? I'm having this such indigestion, such twisting in my womb and in my body." And God told her, Jehovah God told her in a dream, in a hypnotic trance, in a vision, "You have two nations in your womb. The older shall serve the younger. And they will be two nations. Esau's people would become the Arab culture that we have today, and still they're a thorn in Jacob's side, Israel's side." I'm sure she told Isaac this. And when they were born, Esau came out, and out came Jacob's hand on his heel. And Jacob's name means to follow the heel. Well, all of their lives, Jacob was not a mommy's boy. She was not a sissy. He was a strong, powerful man. He was a breadwinner of the family. While Esau was out there playing in the field, he came back one day, starving, just hungry. And the cheapest commodity in the land was lentils. That's like pinto beans or something today, or a flour or something, the base food, real base, the cheapest food you could have. And Jacob was out in the field also herding sheep and protecting them. And while he was out there, he was cooking. He was cooking lentils. And he had some sort of meat. And he had bread. And he had wine. And here comes Esau, the man of the day. And Esau says to Jacob, "Give me some of that stew, and give me some of that bread, and give me some of that wine." And Jacob, knowing his wonderful brother, the man that lived for today only, not tomorrow, Jacob says, "I'll tell you what I'll do, Esau. If you trade me your birthright, which you don't care about anyway," he was going to be a priest of the family and the patriarch of the family after his father died. He said, "Since you don't care anything about your birthright, why don't you just trade it to me? And I'll give you all you want." Esau says, "So what? What is my birthright going to do for me now since I'm dying? I'll go ahead and trade it to you. It don't matter. My birthright doesn't mean anything to me." And you know what God said? He said, "Jacob I loved and Esau I hated." He despised his birthright. Despised it. He didn't care anything about it. Well, Esau was a cheat and a liar and a womanizer. We know all of that from what was going on. And he brought great grief to his mother and father. In verse number 34 and 26 chapter, "And Esau was 40 years old, and he married Judith, the daughter of Ben the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite." These were the enemies of God's people. And he goes out and marries them. Now, God had to blind Isaac because he was going to do the wrong thing. Now, it came about that when Isaac was old, his eyes were dim, he was blind. Probably had cataracts real good. God gave him the cataracts. Because a man, if he could have seen, he would have chosen the wrong man to bless. And he called his older brother Esau and said to him, "My son," and he said to him, "Here I am." He said, "Behold, I am old and I do not know the day of my death. So now please take your gear and your quiver and your bow and your arrows and go out in the field and hunt game for me. And prepare a very savory dish for me, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat it, so that my soul may bless you before I die." Esau, let's cheat your brother out of the birthright. That's what we're going to do. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you this blessing. And Rebekah was listening while Isaac spoke to his son Esau, and so Esau went to the field to hunt for game to bring home. Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Behold, I heard your father speak to your brother Esau saying this, and I know what God told me. And he knows what God told me." That woman's vision, that woman's hypnotic trance, that woman's dream was as valid as anything that Esau ever saw, or Isaac. It was valid. God, Jehovah God, spoke to her, and He said, the younger shall be Lord over the elder. The elder shall serve the younger. God said that. And now Jacob's going to try to turn the tables on God's man. Bring me some game and prepare a savory dish for me that I may eat and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now go to the flock and bring me 2 choice young billy goats. And there I may prepare them as a savory dish for your father, such as he loves. And you'll bring it to your father that he may eat, so that he may bless you before his death. And Jacob told his mother, he said, I don't stink like Esau. He stinks. He smells like a billy goat. He's out there running around and sweating all over the place and stinking up the whole countryside every day, and I'm out here working. And I don't smell like him, besides that he's got hairy arms. So she said, bring me skins, and she sewed these skins on him so that he would feel like Esau, and the scent went with him too. He smelled like a billy goat. Rebecca took the best garments of Esau, her elder son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, his younger son. And she put the skins of the kids, of the goats, on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. And so he also gave the savory food and the bread which he made to her son Jacob. And he went in and gave it to his father. And his father said to me, he said, you sound like Jacob, but you smell like Esau. You're a stinker. You smell. You smell like a billy goat. You must be Esau. How is it that you have brought so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord your God caused it to happen to me. And he did. Please come close that I may feel of you, my son. God had to blind him because he would have chosen the wrong. If he could have seen, he would have known better. God had to blind him, and he used this woman that he had given a vision to, and he used this boy that had bought his birthright. Jacob came close to his father, and he felt of him, and he said, it is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. The arms of Esau. Now Jacob was an extremely strong man. He wasn't some little sissy. He was a powerful man. When he went over there in Laban's territory, where God's going to tell him to leave, he moved a great big rock. It usually took 3 or 4 men to do it. He moved it by himself to impress Rachel. Men do that. Did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands, and so he blessed him. He said, are you really my son, Esau? He said, I am. He said, bring it to me and I will eat of my son's game. Now I'll bless you. I'm going to bless the wrong man. I'm bound to determine to bless the wrong man. I'm bound to determine not to bless God's choice. Please come closer and kiss me, my son. He said, you smell like a goat, like the field, which the Lord God has blessed. And then he said, may he give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and the abundance of the grain and new wine, and may people serve you. He was going to give this to the ungodly buzzard Esau. And nations bow down to you. And be master of your brothers. And may your mother's son bow down to you, and cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you. And then we have another little revelation. Esau came back and said, oh, father, here's your food. Oh, he wailed and wailed and bawled. And Esau said, bless me, my father, bless me, my father. And he said, I've given all the blessings to your brother. because I thought he was you. I was going to bless the wrong man. I didn't want God's choice. I wanted my choice. Doesn't that sound so much like our lives? We always choose what we want, not what God wants. And Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, "Behold, away from the fertility of the earth shall be your dwelling. And away from the dew of heaven, far from above, and by your sword you shall live, and your brother you shall serve." This is exactly what he was going to go opposite. "But it shall come about that when you become restless, that you will break his yoke from your neck." So Esau bore a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are near, and then I will kill my brother." He wasn't stronger than Esau, than Jacob, that is, but he was deceitful and a murderer in his heart. Now, when the words of his elder son Esau were reported to Rebekah, she sent and called her younger son Jacob and said to him, "Behold, your brother Esau is consoling himself concerning you by planning to kill you one of these days. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise and flee to Haran to my brother Laban. And stay with him a few days until your brother's fury subsides, until your brother's anger against you subsides and forgets what you did to him. Then I shall send for you to get you from there. Why should I be bereaved of you both in one day?" And Rebekah said to Isaac, "I am tired of living because of the daughters of Heth." Esau's wife, "I don't want to live. That man is a joke. And he's stinking wives. If Jacob takes a wife from the daughters of Heth like these men, the daughters of the land, what good would it be, my life be to me?" So Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, "You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Ride and go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and from there take yourself a wife from the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. And may God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply, that you may become a company, an army of people. And he also give you a blessing of Abraham to you and to your descendants with you, that you may possess the land of your pilgrimage which God had given to Abraham." So Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Padan Aram, to the Laban, the son of Bethuel, to the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, and the mother of Jacob and Esau. Now Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take himself a wife from there, and that he blessed him, and he charged him, saying, "You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan," the Canaanites, the cursed people. And Jacob obeyed his father and his mother, and the breadwinner was gone. Now, Esau is going to still keep on playing and fooling around while somebody else has to do Jacob's. It probably took 10 people to take his place. So Esau saw the daughters of Canaan and displeased his father Isaac. And Esau went to Ishmael and married besides the wives that he had Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, and Abraham's son, the sister of Nabal. Then Jacob departed from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And it came about in a certain place that he spent the night there. By the way, the word house, Beth, in Hebrew,
Beth. Beth means to
spend the night. That's what it means. Beth means to spend the night. The word Beth is a term for to spend the night, to have a place of safety so you can rest and dream. Now, when he had come to a certain place, he rubbed away the night there because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put him under his head, and he lay down in that place. Now, God is going to do a great hypnotic trance and a dream on Jacob. This is what we call Jacob's ladder. And he had a dream, and he had a vision, the stairway to heaven. And behold, a ladder was set up on the earth with its top reaching into heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending, going up and down and up and down on this stairway. And behold, the Lord stood above it all and said, I am Jehovah, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the land which you lie. I will give it to you and to your descendants. Your descendants shall be also like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread out to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in you and all your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed through the Messiah. And these Jewish boys, these descendants, are going to receive the Old Testament, the Word of God. And I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, and I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his hypnotic trance and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid, and he said, how awesome is this place? There is none other than the house, Beth Elohim, the house of God. Bethel, Bethlehem, Bethel, the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone which he had put under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He consecrated this place to God. And he called the name of the place Bethel, the house of God. However, previously the name of the city was Luz. And Jacob made a covenant with God and a vow to God, if God will be with me and will keep me on this journey, give me food to eat and garments to wear, and in return, I will return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God. And Eloheinu, the Lord will be my God, and I will be my God, Lord's. The Lord will own me, God will own me, and I will own Him. And this stone which I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you have done and given to me, I will surely give a tithe to you. He promised God some things. This boy, this man, this patriarch, God will call his name Israel later on in another dream. God is the God of Isaac, and he's the God of Abraham, and he's the God of Jacob, and he's your God. He keeps us through this world. We meet dangers every day. I have to remind myself every day that I'm in this world by the grace of God, that God has brought me through many dangers, through cancer, through murder attempts. You know that, don't you, Marilyn? Lots of them. And yet I'm here by the grace of God. You are where you are by the grace of God. Donald Grewar in Wales wrote a little note the other day that he could see the hand of God on his life every day, and you all should, all of you, Nancy in Pennsylvania, all of you that send emails to me and ask me questions and make comments on the messages that we put out there. God has been in each and every one of your lives, cooking you and connecting you with discovertheword.com and with me was not a chance. I wonder sometimes how you found it. God is your God, and you are His. give yourself to Him. Walk His pathways. And if you're out there and you don't know this great Lord and God, ask Him to forgive you and save your soul because of what Jesus did. Father, I send this message out. Please use it. Use Your Word to touch lives and to teach people Your love for them and how that You guide them in Your pathways. Father, help us always remember You whatever we do in our lives. Help us always surrender our will to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.